Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my goodness, we are getting ready to have an amazing conversation. I got to tell you guys, I am so excited to have made the acquaintance of Savon Bowman in the last 24 hours. He is an amazing individual, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure many of you guys heard him when he was on the Chris and Cherie show, but I am very, very excited to be bringing him to you guys if you have not heard of him before. I do want you guys definitely to check out his websites, and I've been plugging these all week. The most important one right now is probably astralquest.com, but he also is the purveyor of realmdynamics.com. And then we've got another one to talk about today, which is just getting ready to hit the internet here in the next week, called secretenergy.com. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you will lose 3 months of your life when you go to these websites, because they are literally like a black hole of awesomeness. The amount of information that Savon has cultivated and put out there for public dissemination is just absolutely astounding. Most of it has to do with our quest towards spirituality and understanding how it is that we deal with one another and how we deal with the world and the universe as it is. Just amazing, amazing stuff. He's probably one of the most diverse and enigmatic speakers that I've ever run across. He really raises the bar for what's generally discussed by mental, spiritual, and physical advisors, and he's rapidly exploding as his recognition is exploding with his very unique message. He also specializes in linguistics, etymology, and ciphering. He extracts the esoteric meaning within language, and he has spent years in deep study diving through symbolism, occult sigils, geometry. He's become an expert in what we would talk about when we try and define exactly what the veil of consciousness is. So I'm very, very excited to be welcoming Savon Bomar III to the program today. Savon, very, very big thanks to you taking some time out to join us on the Red Pill Reports this morning.
Honus, JD, you know I'm super excited to be here. I'm about to implode all over the microphone right now. And then, you know, we got an hour.
I tell you, man, we only have an hour. So let's jump in. Now, again, I've told the websites, and I do want people to check those out, but hold off a little bit until we get to actually chat with Savon. Now, Savon, you've got an amazing background, my friend, and it's incredibly diverse. Do you want to, before we kind of jump into where your research has led you, let's touch on just kind of who you are and how you've gone through this journey and gotten to where you are today, sir?
Okay, let's see how fast I can do it this time. So,
okay.
In every tense, you know, I'd like to start off in some type of common ground. I notice that that's really useful because it gives us all a place to take off from. So I would definitely say that I'm a human being. I'm just like you. I'm looking for the answers to what's going on in the reality based on my experiences. It just so happens that in life, this time, it's taking me down a path to where I can start paying attention to things that I feel like are what's controlling the reality. And actually, it's even gone beyond what I feel like. This is stuff that I've seen happen, experience happen, and also talk to thousands of other people who can connect what's going on here. And so I really look at Earth very similar to the dream plane in many tense, to where you don't really know where you are. You don't really know how to map it. We just think we know where we are. We think we know how to map it. And that gives us a certain sense of security. But in truth, you know, we have a lot to really discover on the planet. And so that's what I was doing ever since I was younger. I was looking for the meaning to life, but more importantly, actually the meaning behind death, meaning what happens when you die. And I continued to pursue that idea even when I got into just being in what they call the world and doing worldly things. I love the way they say it like that. But basically, when I had to go into the world and do my own thing to begin to survive, it never left my consciousness to keep asking the big question and keep pondering that until I discovered it. So what happened to me was about 7 years ago now, 6 or 7 years ago, I went through a very, very aggressive, I'll say, spiritual experience. And I think most real spiritual experiences have a tendency to be aggressive anyway, because they shake your foundation. They basically let you know that the way you thought things were before is actually not the way things are. And so you swoon a bit as you know, get yourself together and get your legs stable again. So what happened to me was I went into a high vibration. And when going through that vibration, I was able to access a large amount of information, which was coming in the form of also energy. And when I returned, which all happened in just a short moment, I was able to retain that energy, and it was kind of encrypted. So I've even now been spending the last 7 years, 8 years now, decrypting that information, and then what all the platforms that we have are different variations of that information brought to people in a way in which they can, you know, digest it. So, you know, different strokes for different folks, for sure. There's not one formula for all of us. So anyone who's looking for it, stop. You're wasting your time. The reality is truth is limitless. So everyone will have some of it. And it's just most important for us to figure out, again, our own personal alchemical formula, because each person has, you know, these different size crucibles and vessels. And it's important to kind of see some of the real exploration in understanding how vast our consciousness is and what we can do from some of the examples in the past. But of course, because there's so much misinterpretation behind things, you do just have to go back to some of the simple stuff and then start to really pull the much more deeper things. And to me, one of those things is alchemy, because whether people know it or not, even the actual crucibles and ovens and things that they use to work the process of alchemy are designed after the organs in our body. Because the whole goal of alchemy is basically to create something very similar to what the body creates when it makes a seed germ. Meaning that when the male body actually pulls in all of this energy and pulls in this food, this chicken, and whatever the person may be consuming, and then brings out a microcosmic version of that person through their semen, then that process right there is known to be really one of the highest levels of knowledge that you can possess. And that if you could do something like that, if you could somehow figure out how to create that kind of process over again, what was discovered is that you could not only you not only accomplish that within yourself, you could also do it with other things that are in the reality with you. And so this gives us a whole new way to look at the reality. And one of the biggest examples that I have of this is that sometimes when we say female, especially to other humans, we think of the human female. And then right away, we associate what we think the quote-unquote divine feminine is with that last girl or example of a woman that we've met, right? But in reality, there's female lions, there's female ants, there's female spiders, there's a whole back end to what the female energy really is, just like there's a whole back end to what the male energy really is. So once we get more familiar with how to work ourselves out with those formulas, then we are able to accomplish some amazing things. And many of my colleagues and peers, such as individuals like Dan Winter, have been bringing forth information that has also been very useful for other individuals that just see it more of in a scientific way to start understanding what exactly is going on here, so we can get on with this already, meaning the joy, the laughter, all of what comes with being a true human being, especially living on a planet where this many creative people here waiting to explore their creativity, right? So in most cases, everyone is bottled up and just has all of this energy to release. And now what's necessary is just the individuals that come and explain to those individuals how they release their energy. Notice I didn't say they need to explain those individuals how to release their energy. That's something they're going to have to do. All they have to do is, hey, this is some of the stuff I did. You know, you may want to try it. I have another friend, he says he did this and he perfected it like this. Mix it together, whatever what you like, and then see what happens with you. And I think that is going to get us very far. It actually has gotten us very far, because obviously we have quite a few platforms now. And then Secret Energy is about to come in and really, you know, I don't see, there is no sites out there like it. So, you know, but the thing is it's open source, so it's not a competition. Like, we feature a lot of other sites, and I did give you an opportunity to log in last night, JD, and I'm not sure if you navigated to shows and stations, but you would have seen yourself there. And then that's how we're really working it, is that anyone that we know that we deal with, it is 100% curated still. We don't want to throw the Pope up there, but you know, anyone that we know we deal with that are really intending to push this along, and you can just feel intentions, like whether the information is tight or not. I mean, that's going to come with a process for all of us, but you know, we're going to be there to support you and to also put you in front of other individuals that would be interested in that same thing. So, you know,
I love this concept of open source spirituality too.
Sure.
And I want to kind of touch on that too. So, you know, we've got a lot of different people that come on the show, Sivan, and a lot of people, not a lot of people, but you know, we have a lot of opinions out there about whether or not things like meditation and yoga, understanding your own individual power. Some of those people out there think that angle is kind of, I don't want to say evil, but as potentially could be exploited by a force of evil if there was one out there. You know, if you are going into a meditative cycle and you don't understand what you're doing, the potential to open yourself up for influence from some negative force, I guess, is a concern that some people have. I don't necessarily share that concern, and I wonder what you think about or what type of advice you might offer to somebody who is kind of just dipping their toe into this new spirituality, you know, that the construct that we're kind of moving into here in the world. How do we get those people to understand that what we're talking about really is universal and is really actually not necessarily detrimental to yourself?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what I'll definitely say is that any question that a person really has about all this or any experience that they've had in this, I've had that experience too. So I'm only going to speak from experience. And what you have to do is, first of all, make yourself relative to this space and time. Like, you can't go back 2,000, 3,000 years, take knowledge and information from there, and then not know how to apply that 2,000, 3,000 years on the timeline in the future and be able to see what is the connection that still remains with that. And for many people to really understand what happens, especially when you have to begin to experiment on yourself, there is a rebellious frequency that is tied into that, because in this specific space and time, they tell you not to do that, meaning that you have all these books such as the Bible and all these religious dogmas and institutions that say this right. is how things are. You're not supposed to look out any further. So when someone sets laws, rules, boundaries, bulls, edicts, and all the rest of that stuff, and they start laying out all the guidelines that they don't even go by, because no supreme being could even go by those guidelines and truly expand, what then happens is that one becomes subject then to this back and forth, God or the devil on the shoulders saying, okay, I think this is getting a little crazy. I don't know if you should go to that meditation class again. I felt something weird. And if I'm exposed, so then again, the fear factor starts to kick in, et cetera. But again, this is all right. coming from one frequency, and it's just called rebellion. And it's because the person is literally having to rebel against the common dogma, the king, the rest of the different hierarchies in the reality, in order to begin to light up and experience their full state of consciousness and being. So I think that in every tense, yeah, both is going on. There, you know, this is, you know, I have three words for this dimension: free for all at certain points, meaning that there are right. people running around that believe do what they want is the whole of their law. Because there is no law unless one creates it and then one chooses to abide by that law. So if you look at a construct, and this is why as I was listening to one of Dan's recordings last night, so it's all in my mind, but he was talking about how we embed planets, and that's really what our thing is. Like, that's how we create our families, our realities, our, you know, our constructs, all this stuff that we have, is we have to first embed. So when you do embed at first, there's nothing. There's no boundaries. There's no drawing out maps. There's no words. There's no none of that. And that's what a big part of creation is. And that's why the creation principle was tied always into one specific, I would say, phonetic, now that I'm seeing it correctly. And it's within this IAO, which some know as known as Abrasax. And then it gets a whole theism around, and then it becomes an angel, and it becomes a god king, and it becomes all sorts of stuff. But it's basic. When we look at the two words in and out, we see, if we take off all the letters and just give us the first letters, what is it? It's a I and a O. And we're so familiar with the I and the O in our daily activities, especially with the opposite sex, then we should already know what kind of construct that we're in. We're in an input-output reality. And every time that we go outwards to do something, to create something, to send any kind of external anything, we immediately take on the frequency of the I. And then at that point, though, it's all about, well, how much amplification do you have? How much impact do you actually have? And so we're dealing with a reality where generally the strongest impact, the tornado that's steering itself, as they say, the strongest impact is going to steer the current of what on a much more larger scale looks like a donut or a torus. But humans are inside of it. And as okay. atoms, they're basically then inside of a hedron collider. And this thing is constantly spiraling around, and that spiraling is generating so much energy, and then it's generating the fusion. And that fusion is the same fusion of mom and dad coming together and getting ready to create again, another big bang, which again is all the terminology. And so I think that what happens on the dimension also is if a big part of even being rebellious is actually exploring and understanding fully what the sexual nature is about. So this means that the being is really grows up with somewhat of a mental and spiritual and physical deficiency of realizing what input and output the pole and the whole is really about. And so this is how it all ties together. Now, this is where Freud and Jung didn't finish going, because I'm sure that was right after they broke up, you know, the knowledge went in two different directions. But where they could have concluded with it was, is that if you're raised in any kind of atmosphere to where you're not getting either input or output, you become bottled up. And this is the big thing that I wanted to talk about today, is that we must learn, well, we get to learn. I'm not going to tell anybody what they need to do anymore. You get to learn how to work with your input and your output and how to do them both equally so you can truly expand on a physical plane. Because physical planes, and that's a really loose term because there's spirits here, so I don't get the terminology. But again, the physical plane has a in and out to it. It has a day and a night. It has a heartbeat in, heartbeat out. It has a breathe in, breathe out. So at any point, if we decide not to do that, I'm going away. I'm going to my cave. I'm tired of everyone. That means that, yeah, it may work all fine and dandy for a while in output, right? But if you don't do any input after a while, you're going to implode, because whoever does not do one or the other while being here, first things will start to go not as well because they're off balance. Now, might as well make it be straight. I have had this issue, still have this issue. We all have this issue, trying to figure out how to do this balance thing. Because either we want to figure out what's the good one, what's the bad one. So in this tense, then, where we're really at then, as it was termed in ancient times, is you're just the chariot. You're just the engine in a tense. You're doing the bad, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, but in, out, in, out, in, out, in, out. And you're doing that, and that's just generating energy. But if you really want to get to the top of this thing, if you want to start to be able to steer where your consciousness is going, rather than just being a piece in a huge black and white checkerboard 64-bit I Ching way of changes, cause and effect type cycle, then that's where, you know, we, like I see, I as I can encourage a person to just start tuning into what exactly we've been talking about. And it's because now we take it all back apart and we see that, okay, you know what, I've demonized, just like we were talking about with the whole rebellion. It's a formula. You're going to need certain levels of frequency at certain points to get through this. If you're going to need rebellion at a certain point. So if you castle out the rebellious force altogether and you don't happen to have it when the next Anu or next cycle comes around when you really need it, then you're going to face the diametric opposition of not having it. And because all this ties into currency, this is your own personal management of your energetic system. If you don't end up having it when you don't, when it's time to actually put some output, right? And when it's time to put some output, nothing comes out. And this is the main thing, because now if we then take the I and the O and away from the cooties, meaning take it away from the penis and the vagina, because that would be only the physical explanation of it. They'll even try to tell you a little bit in some of the super encrypted books. It says that the supreme beings are likened more unto the appearance of your genitalia. And it's like, that's as close as they'll bring it to you, because it's all oathed. It's all secrets, meaning, what did it say, for your eyes only, meaning you would need to experience this, not so much as read it. Read it would be the map. Experiencing it would be the terrain. Now, no soldier thinks that the terrain in the map are the same, because it's going to be a whole different thing when you get on the ground. And so this is also why it's very easy after a while to see if a person has really experienced this stuff, or they just would be called in the ancient text vainly reciting, meaning that, you know, they're reading the stuff, but there's still all the, well, this looks like, you know, I don't know if this is evil, I don't know if there's good, you know, there's a lot of that going on, and that prevents the person from actually going into action. And then this becomes like more of a bigger trick of the reality, because everyone is playing a game, and those games do start with words. And in certain tense with the words, if something is literally saying in your mind all day something, and you're just sitting there listening, there's no action there. So you have to be careful of that, because that means you've been taking a lot of input, 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 And then now where's your output? Now where's, if someone is telling you something that you can really learn from, you can really go do, they should have sent you on your way. But if they're just dictating to you and telling you, oh, you should love others. Well, yeah, I think you told me that like 3,000 times. Is there anything more to this before I leave? Yes. Treat everyone as you treat yourself. This is the key to the great arcana. You know, it's a lot of talking. And then what I noticed was is that this was another trick to the world, which is synonymous with the word. Okay, it's only an L in the dictionary word in the world, right? So the word was, when you don't speak real words, because we have this other languages and tongues, our voice can be a lot deeper, it can be a lot more high pitch. We can pull sound from all the way from the bottom of our feet all the way to the top and bring it through full manifestation. So we have a lot that we can do with sound, right? So when we're not doing that and we're on this Desmodema backwards, as it says, backwards, the words are going in the wrong way, script known as English, or English, what then happens is that the individual has words that don't have any power. So then this is what happens. I can sit here and talk all day till I turn blue in my face about all of the big things that we're actually capable of doing. But if we never get together to actually do them, what have I done? I've created an illusion. And that's why words, you know, we talk about on everything that we produce and really were the forerunners of it in many cases, except for individuals such as Jordan Maxwell and people who, the guy who wrote Arnold Wadler, One Language, One Tongue, these kind of individuals, yes. Which I read actually later. I had gotten the download about the words right away. The first thing that came to me and said, yeah, James, that's my real name. You like to play games. So you're trying to get light, meaning I was always trying to go higher, Jetsons.
Right.
But you need to get light all around me, fancy cars, all this infrastructure, basically. You got too much weight. This is all the stuff that was around me. So you're just going to wait, meaning you'll never go anywhere with this stuff. So wow. I got rid of it all. The experience was so vivid, though. But the thing was, is that I have also, and as I talked to you before, I have a very sound, logical side. I just want people to understand that. I did only logic before my massive spiritual experience. Now, I was raised in spirituality as a child, but I always analyzed it from a logical mind. And then when I went to have a career and a job set, I chose to become an engineer, a computer engineer. And so I was doing the world of zeros and ones for a while. So to me, God actually didn't make sense because of the construct in which I was introduced to God. And that was that God was the supreme being and we need to do right by God. And then if we don't, it's going to be a problem when this is over. Right. So that's how I was introduced. So the first rebuttal from any child is going to be, well, I see other people that are doing, they're really doing some crazy stuff. Why doesn't God stop them? Because God being all powerful, why would he let this little girl get really hurt? And then the New Age movement comes along and says, well, there's something that you don't see that's going on in that person's lifeline that they chose, right? And they just smooth it all over, and then we're supposed to accept it, right? But the truth is when you really start getting into it, you start realizing that there is really a hierarchy here, and there is a being known as God, which is specific, because God is good. So meaning that most people need to realize that other cultures call their gods different things. Yep. If you go to Arabia, even there, it's Allah. If you go somewhere else, it's Buddha. If you go, and each of these names emit a certain vibration. They're not all the same, but it is a hierarchy where there is one being in particular on top, and then all the other beings have divvied themselves up in names. Since names are the only system of power, name is the only system of reference. A thousand devotees or 100,000 devotees chanting a being's name continuously always allows that being to have access to where we are in this space and time.
Wow.
And it's because when those people are chanting, they're basically leaving a breadcrumb trail and saying, hey, here we are, because we're going how fast? Who nobody even knows. We're spiraling through space, they say. We're never coming at the same point in the same time because we're not in a circle. We're actually in a spiral. So this means if something needs to catch back up with us or find out where we are, how is it going to do that? Someone has to leave what's basically etheric cord continuously behind us. It's very similar to like an umbilical cord. And every time that energy or that frequency wants to upload itself into the reality again, it can come through one of those devotees chanting that name. And then
I gotta pause you first. I gotta pause you for just a sec, Sivan, because we're getting ready to go to a break. But you're really hitting on a pretty amazing thing right now, because you know, even going back into like World War II, watching Hitler running around the Middle East pulling out artifacts and things like that, lots and lots of archaeological digs that were going on. And I was listening to another gentleman the other day who was basically saying that the reason that these people were going out and finding all of these artifacts is because they already have all the sacred texts to go with them, either at the Vatican or wherever, you know, whatever organization it is that they're trying to represent. And just like you're saying, there's nothing in the world to stop them if they've got the sacred text and they know how to say the hubajuba, whatever it is that they have to say correctly, and they've got the artifact there. There's no reason that that entity wouldn't believe that they are current present day time representatives of said entity, right? And so that's where these people are essentially trying to go out and cultivate power from. And I find that to be very interesting because it basically touches just on what exactly you just mentioned.
Yeah. I mean, there it is. I know we're going into a break, so I won't open it up even more, but I mean, it's right on. But and then, of course, the main thing now is just to rewrite history. Because if you destroy all the statues and monuments, as you see code name ISIS did, you know, this is wild. Like, it's just a direct attack on, it is, of course, in this case, a real direct on Divine Feminine, because Divine Feminine is just the physical realities or the outputs. And in the output has to remain cohesive. It has to be a foundation. So it stores all these statues and temples and things that give it a very strong resonance. So that way it remains solid underneath our feet, or else it just will disappear. It'll particleize, right? So if they take those things and they destroy those things, and then 200 years it only takes, and they tell you in certain books they have the protocols, 200 years, and then they can write a whole nother story and then cast the characters differently and then juice that character. So, you know,
it's makes you wonder how many times that's been done before, ladies and gentlemen. You know what I mean? Okay, we got to go to this 3-minute break. I'm not joking right now. We got a 3-minute break. Come back with our final segment with Sivan Borman. Absolutely amazing stuff, ladies and gentlemen. And I have a really big question to ask when we get back. So I appreciate you guys all being here, hopping in the chat room. We'll be right back. Keep it right here, guys. Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. Really appreciate all of you guys tuning in live today and hanging out with us in the chat room. If you guys have questions or comments for Mr. Sivan Bomar, that would be a very good place to put them, because then I can steward them across and weave them into the tapestry of our interview today. Very excited to have him here. I do want to recommend also that you guys check out his book. I forgot to mention this in the first segment. He is the author of The Code to the Matrix, which is a very highly rated, and I believe you can get it at Goodreads, and I think you can also get it at Amazon.com as well, but a lot of accolades for this gentleman, and very happy to have him here. Before the break, Sivan, we've been kind of talking a little bit vaguely about spirituality and things like that. And I wonder if perhaps we should kind of slow our pace down and maybe define some terms for the listeners and talk about some of the correlations between them. And I realize this is kind of going to be a broad question, but I think you're kind of the gentleman to handle all this. I want to talk a little bit just about the correlation between frequency, intention, and spirituality, and then maybe tie into that as well the necessity of believing in yourself and how all of that stuff correlates. Do you think you could define those and kind of work us through what all those mean and how they correlate, sir?
For sure, yeah. We'll take it piece by piece. You know, first of all, I did want to let everyone know you can actually get the book really anywhere. You just type in The Code to the Matrix in Google, and it's there for download. It's free. And
nice.
Yeah, it's also got 200 and something illustrations. So when seeing is believing, then you'll find a lot to actually begin to believe.
I totally should have known that, too, because it's listed here. We do a page for you at redpillreports.com, and right here at the bottom it says book, Code to the Matrix, free link right there. So if you guys do want to check that out, definitely go to redpillreports.com and get on that link right there.
Exactly. And also just to know, the book was written like 5 years ago, so don't come back at me and say, but you said this, and then you said this. This is a progressive build. And
it's a learning process.
And then just so people didn't feel like I maybe knew too much, there were some typos there that we did not edit out, because the book went through like the second editing, and then we released it because it was, you know, it was ready to come. But, you know, just to answer this whole thing about basically manifestation, you know, it's very easy to understand this from another level, because it's basically generation. It's how we create something. Now, we do it all the time. We're just not as conscious of how we're doing it. So it's just better to look at the framework of how it operates. And so the first thing is, you need an energetic potential. This means you need some kind of current or currency, some kind of battery, something that actually drives the actual the inertia in whatever it is that you're trying to manifest. So when we look at our lives and we have to ask ourselves, where does that really come from? It actually comes from all the things that we consume through our orifices. And it's basically the orifices that are in on the head, because the head is the first macrocosmic model of how the entity is really set up. So when you're looking at with the head, you take in things through your eyes, you take in things through your nose, you take in things through your mouth and your ears, right? Sight, hearing, taste, smell, and then touch. All these are essences or foods that we consume on a daily basis. It's just, you know, when you're still trying to look at, well, how much are you seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, touching, and what kind of quality that is, then that's also what's going to determine what kind of fluid it interprets to that goes into your spine. So how our consciousness works is it's capable of taking the things that we have, all the things that we have as intake. This means ideas and food alike, and then turning it into some kind of serotonin, melatonin, whatever. And then this gives the body the energetic potential that it needs to keep the aura moving. The aura is moving now, like a torus. And if the aura happens to stop moving, you leave this world and you smear into the adjacent frequency that is moving at the frequency that you're moving at. So the behold, the ladder is going up and down. This means that if you actually start picking up your frequency very high, you do leave this sphere, this part of the disc, and you go, depending on how high it is, levels up. Some people can pop all the way out of this. So, and then all same thing is if it gets too low, you get sick, you get depressed, and it starts slowing down. That's why many people also have spiritual experiences like that, where they can see the frequency that is immediately below them, which is the world, like a world of phantoms. It's dismemberment, meaning that it's disincarnate, disembodied. These beings are basically looking to put themselves back together like Frankenstein so that they can come back into another incarnation on the frequency that we live on. So everything there would be somewhat distorted to us because our frequency here is a phi base frequency, and things that are closer to phi here, the closer it gets to phi, the more attractive or harmonic it is for us. Okay.
What is phi? Can you define that for people who might not know?
Sure. Phi is a spiral. To make it very simple, this is what's encoded within the pyramids. It's encoded within the different things we see in nature, like shells. It's encoded in the process of Venus's movement throughout the sky. It's encoded
in the
Fibonacci
waves. Sequence.
Exactly. Yeah. This is what we're talking about. And this design and this spiral actually also lets you know the different schools of thought, because the different schools of thought. Because what happens here is that there was a schism within this knowledge. It actually divided. That's what created the word deuce. It created the divided worlds, etc. And so this means on one side was the zero, and on the other side is the one. So in our reality, because there happens to be a lot of, misinterpretation and different energies are working out in different ways, you have what people are calling a negative masculine energy that at times begins to dominate the reality, and actually is dominating the reality now. And the reason why that I'm bringing this up is because then what happens is there's a plagiarization of the symbols. So generally how you can notice this is that there will be a straight line where a curve should be, okay? And what this does is it's very simple. You learn this in programming. It's like putting a zero where a one should be throws the entire program off. So when you have the beings that are supposed to be doing one thing kind of doing the other, like what we're doing, I like it to, everyone should make this relative to themselves. Don't try to go find these creatures. They're all inside. So what happens is that for us personally, we have other stuff to do besides sit behind computers and work all day. Like I'm a space traveler. I go throughout cosmos. I implode and I nest into wormholes and the whole nine. So actually getting up every day at five, whatever, and just sitting at some monotonous, repetitive something is not what I'm really about, right?
That's right.
If somehow I catch that profile, then I'm in that tense being misused and misusing myself. So that's all we're really talking about here. So with this energy then, what we find is that how the energy is also divided within ourselves is how much we have to give, and that also is measured in time. Since we're on this dimension, how much we have to give to other things beside the service to self, in the vein that all is self. Meaning that if you actually fix yourself, you can do a lot more for everyone around you than you could ever do if you were just half okay or whatever, but still trying to function and be there for everyone. So there has to be this point where we call it inner standing. This is synonymous with a whole. We call it wholeness. This is when a person decides to go to the cave. They're done with the world. They're done with the way it works. Oh, Pindar or the penultima has now pinned them down too much, and they think and they feel like, okay, I have to get some level of control, so I'm going to retreat, and I'm going to go into myself And then there, I know I will be safe. And many of us know about this whole process about pulling away from society, friends, and different things for a while till you can collect and gather yourself. And so this also allows you to begin to what? Cultivate now. Now you're cultivating the energy. Not a lot of those tubes that used to be connected to you pulling out that current from time and energy that you're having to spend on other things that are in most tense solely dedicated to their selves and their own energy system, right? So those are cut in many cases. In fact, there is a technique that if you cut all of them, you can feel the body literally start to aggressively go into a higher frequency, but you have to really believe it's working. But that kind of cutting of the cables and cords is what actually detaches a lot of stuff that's basically just feeding on you. Now, I'm not saying that all these things are vampires. Remember, your kids feed on you. So we don't want to make any of this stuff our enemy here. In fact, most people have to now settle for being able to juice and get up more energy so that way they can feed more. And then if you can really understand how it works, you can tap into the panacea, which is basically an inexhaustible energy, and that's your imagination, okay? And so this is, in building this is what happens. Now, the imagination really works as an energetic potential because your ideas have an energetic potential tied into them. Like, I'm going to show you two examples. One, if you think you really want $1 million and they're coming tomorrow to give it to you, you won't be able to sleep that night, anyone talks to you, you're super happy. What happened? Nothing really happened. You just believe that you got this $1 million and it came from a bona fide source. There's one example that thoughts and ideas do interpret to energy. Another one is you got this bad person that you just met. They really, really are doing it for you. It's turning you on. So you know you're going to meet them in a few hours. How do you feel? Especially if it's fresh, it's new, you know, it's a whole different thing. Energetic potential is now there, not because of anything
you ate.
Second,
ladies and gentlemen.
Right? Hello?
Hello. Oh, we got you back just for a second here. Yeah.
Okay. I must have dropped out for a second. But again, energetic potential is there. It's not because of anything that you ate. It's not because of anything you took. It was only because of the way that you thought. So the more you can really start playing around with that, it's insane, meaning that there's no actual limits to it. So then you have to become the governor because you can actually go insane like that. So this is why it's always good to have those breaks. That's why I don't see God and the devil anymore. They're dancing together and then they disappeared. What I had to do after years of this, because, you know, we were the most bravest, strongest, light working, keeper of the key having beings triumphing this all the way up until 2012 hit. Because I had figured it out early. Like, so I was about 1 year before 2012 saying, wait a minute, I'm looking at stuff and everything seems to be re-engineered. The numbers are not matching. The zeros and the ones are out of place. Guys, I don't think that anything's going to happen in 2012 unless we make it happen. But there's not going to be any real phenomena or anything occurring. So this was like the ones who understood that, they went in and they made a 2012 happen. And it happened like within a month of when they started thinking about when they were going to line their planets or line their chakras up. While others, they took an external standpoint and they just started saying, well, you know, this Zeta Reticuli was talking to me and then all this stuff. But remember, we're creators. So it doesn't mean that any of those people weren't really seeing what they were talking about or weren't really experiencing what they were talking about in one way or another. It just becomes, well, how useful was it for us? Because us is about inside. It's like, well, how can it really apply to you so you can work with it? Like, am I going to call Zay Rexcuri tonight? He's going to drop off some paperwork to me? Or are you just going to tell me that he's telling me my planet is doomed? So, you know, it's just about now taking this and taking it very serious. So we started taking it serious very early is what I'm saying. And what we came up with is there's something that you do have to know. There was a hybridization with the human body. This is also easy to be seen with not only the DNA, how many are active, but more importantly, that the tail is missing off of this physical version of this being. And because the tail actually contains the other vertebrae to the spine, that actually means that their tail or their story would be cut. When you domesticate or cut the tail of something, it loses a large chunk of its memory. And we're just talking about the physical bodies. Like, I'm not taking this on to a spiritual level, because when you cut something off on a physical level, it still remains on the spiritual. But you, when seeing is believing, as I said earlier, you may feel like you don't have access to it anymore. So with human beings, it's that they don't have more or less their past of what took place on the planet. And then, of course, many of us can easily wipe away whether we need to know that knowledge or not, because we're also unbegotten. We're self-created. We came from nothing. So that's the impossible conundrum that no one can answer in physicality. But there's a lot that took place in physicality, our tales, our story, etc., our storage, our energy storehouse, our lot. when we don't have that, then we can't really believe in ourselves to the extent of what we would want to believe in ourselves. So that's what I was saying before, is that as a self-created or self-generated being, everything is about how much you believe in yourself. Because if you cease to believe in yourself, when you get into that out-of-body experience that happens for everyone at least once in a lifetime, then there is no way to steer your consciousness or who you are through basically all the other particles and all the other things trying to now embed you. Because what you've become is you flip poles, you just tesseracted. So you're automatically, if you're not balanced, going to flip right to the opposite pole that you're normally used to being on. So you're off guard. And in that off guard state, then you become passive. You actually become what we know as feminine. And then you get embedded with another story, another idea of what it is to be a human. You come into another incarnation inside of Kar's nation. It is Kar, it is flesh. And then you incubate, you're inside the cube or Pandora's box. And then you will bring forth many evils, meaning because you're still distorted, not knowing the big picture of how this really works, you will keep making mistakes. So then that for that kind of entity, it remains contained. And the secret is that is what the aura is. It is a containment unit. It has a lot of capabilities to teach you and instruct you, but it is a containment unit because it is comprised of the archonic forces, which are the chakras, that actually put together this reality. So then they're like the crutches to the reality, giving you as a child, when you look out of the crib, something of an idea of what exactly you're looking at by squaring the walls, teaching language, putting little chimes in the nursery rhymes and things that you start to begin to adapt to. But after a while, when are you going to throw off those crutches? When are you going to take up thy bed and walk? And this is also where it becomes, are you going to be a child inside the egg, even though the egg is kind of cracked open and other entities are already pecking in? Or are you going to become an adult or an adept and start really doing this, actually applying this to your everyday life rather than letting the continuous entertainment of just listening to it present itself as some kind of real form of doing it? And then actually get on this with us, because there's 15,000 of us now physically counted. But there's millions of us, and in fact, there's a countless number of us because we're basically a collective frequency. I mean, that's why we're on the phone today, me and you. And you can also tell very easily that when a person is on that frequency, because it's a feeling. And then when we learn to really start working with our feelings more, and they sometimes say trust your feelings, but see, trust often is misinterpreted as you shouldn't do something. Like, sometimes trust is just to prepare you for what you may face after
Savan,
you do
it. Savan, I'm going to cut you off for just 1 second, brother. Hang on 1 second. I'm going to disconnect. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to make sure we're not missing any of the stuff that Savan is talking about, because he's just so darn interesting.
Okay.
Savan, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back with us. And I got a clean copy on my side. I know people don't like the post-production, but just so you know, just in case there was some stuff that was like...
Okay. Yeah, we just for like the last couple minutes started to get a little bit of fade out, and I don't want to miss any of the stuff that we're talking about. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Do you want to pick it up where you were?
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, I'm not. It was a real flow there, and in fact, it kind of concluded like right at that point. So you know, we can really take it anywhere.
I want to talk about your websites, because they are obviously all three of them, especially with this new Secret Energy one, just amazing. I mean, honestly, some of the best looking and best, most functional websites I've seen on the internet. But I want to talk to people about using them as a resource to raise our own frequencies. So do you want to talk a little bit about what people can expect when they go to your websites and how they can use them to actually start to try and go up this hill towards enlightenment, sir?
For sure. I mean, they can definitely expect to see themselves through every single portal. We did actually change certain things on how they work. Like, we put Realm Dynamics to being the main hub to where all the products and things that we discuss at times that we know vividly work on causing this graduation process, or basically fixing and cleaning up what you broke. Because, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't see why money has anything to do with why I need to buy anything. Well, did you break it? Because if you break it, you buy it, my friend, meaning that this is the same body. Like, you'll realize that when you get like 60 or 70 years old, because I talk to some of those people all the time. And realistically, they're always talking about, man, if I had at least like 25, 30, start catching myself and at least going to work out, especially on my knees and those kind of things. So when my cartilage stops really regenerating, then, you know, I would still have a knee. So the reality is that there is some maintenance, because we're below the speed of light. Okay, now anytime you're below the speed of light, that means that you're actually below what would be the perpetual energetic force. So in that state, gravity acts upon you. That is the G and the 6 in masonry. So what happens then is that the person can be pulled lower into the vortex. This is like after you finish spiraling in the Hedron Collider, you can eventually, if you get you know, you don't have enough energy, you drag down back to the bottom. And so what happens is that it's really, that's why I was saying you have to believe in yourself, because it's like a constant thing where you have to keep the energy revved up in the physical realities if you want to really do some stuff for yourself here. Now, I won't say this is for everyone, because obviously some people would just rather successfully bow out. As they say, it's like, you know, I'm really ready for the next world. Me personally, the next world is now. I don't really see that there was a gap, because I don't actually remember even dying, no matter what someone was. I died a while ago. Well, maybe you were imprinted with death. But for an immortal to die, it's not even possible. Or, you know, some people are now even condemning the word immortal. So I don't even know what to do anymore in this matrix. And what I'm saying is, so many people have made everything the enemy now. We don't see allies. So what the websites are they're the allies. They're the ones that are actually there, people who've experienced this just like you. We're collecting the data and filing the data properly, but we also had the experience. And things like the secret energy, it has what I feel like were the things that we weren't able to really incorporate with the old platform. And, you know, when you run a social network for 4 years, 5 years, you learn a lot of things. And it's just like, if as an architect, if you build something and you happen to live in it, and you start realizing, man, I should have run the piping on that side, and then the thing is on the hot water, and this is crazy. So if you ever have time to build it again, you're going to build it without those issues. So that's what secret energy is. It opens it up completely. I don't want to be the judge. Like, I don't want to be in that position. So I'm not making it up to me to determine what's on top and what's on the bottom. I'm letting people decide that. So the main thing that we incorporated in the skeleton, that the people are basically the meat and the soul force, the life and everything to it, as much as they want to participate in it, is as much as it'll give back. So the reality is that they can go in there and they can start to say, well, this dude right here is disinformation. He's been doing it since the beginning. He needs to wise up a little bit. No ratings for this one, but this one right here is on point. Let me give it 5 stars. So at that point, at a certain point, you would get all the individuals that are actually dealing with the bona fide information about what's happening here on the top, and then the people who are still playing the games because they refuse to go back out and keep learning things. Maybe they've gotten sluggish and lazy in their own consciousness, also looking for that next spark. Now, like I said, that it works for all of us, because that person can even go right to the top and say, well, let me see what I feel like I'm ready to come back in this again. Like, what's going on? And then they hear one of these, you know, Dan Winter or Seven Bomar or messages coming across, and they'd be like, okay, so that's what that means. Because remember, each and every one of these individuals were running the great race. That they were, you know, they were in the gauntlet. And then what happens in this gauntlet is we take damage. And it's because, here's what I was explaining this to someone the other day, but it's because, see, when I'm doing this, like, I faced a lot of stuff trying to get these websites off the ground. I'm just persistent and I'm very strong on all levels. And I just keep pushing. And then now that I got my imagination, nothing can stop me. But it did take that. Because what happened was, is that, see, there's an overall current to the reality based on how we program it. It's a collective build. So if everyone basically decides to be just stupid and do the craziness and just listen to Madonna all day and listen to Lil Wayne or look at Newt Gingrich or, you know, all this stuff that doesn't mean anything, then the current, right, the current starts to flow a certain way. So then when you decide you want to do opposite, you're actually going against the current in the collider. Okay, so now you got to turn into a navigator. And what I realize is that, and we talked about this, you know, shows and shows ago, but I'll bring it up now. See, there's a design, and I only can tell you it in geometry, but to understand what you should, how you should become is not necessarily shaping yourself into it, but understanding that you are it. So there's a design where if anything comes to hit it from any angle, it just slips right off. And they had a UFO in one movie design like this. It looks like the saber on Halo. I don't know if some people are like, what? But the there's a game called Halo, and there's this saber, and it looks like, actually, let me tell you, it looks like a spade, okay? Like a three-dimensional spade. So there's that point, and then right when the point is there, from that point, there's a slope. And then so if anything hits it, it just slides right off. And the reason why I'm explaining this is because that's how sleek. You got to be like Leonardo DiCaprio shaving down the screws on the aviator, meaning on the plane, just to get a few extra seconds. When you're flying against the current, and this is also, it comes at you as your encouragement it comes at you as, you know, just the overall morale that you have to deal with to keep, that you have to keep having to keep going in this. It comes as these weird quirks where the computer shuts down, all the files get deleted. It comes as when you're talking to people that this is what they specialize in, whatever it is, and then they act like that you need to tell them what to do. See, it comes in all these different ways, and it's just basically the you going against what is the perceived force. But then once you get good at it, this then makes it very interesting, because now the entire reality, you know, is going in the wrong direction. But you also know then that you have the ability to actually begin to change it and begin to bring it something new. Because what the wrong direction would be, so that we don't start doing the wrong direction thing here, is that when you just keep going in a circle is the wrong direction. Because you just over and over and over again. So if we're doing something over and over and over again, and it's feeling like Groundhog's Day, then we know that, okay, I got to get out of this. I'm really a coil. Because what happens is, what happens when you take two opposing forces, like let's say a circle, and I'll just get this explanation and I'm done. If you take a circle, right, and you break it open, okay? Mm-hmm. Now you got a line there. So let's say on one side is positive and the other side is negative. If you bend those back together and you put them together, they short out, okay? And that's why generators are not designed like that. They're designed in circular coils. They wind the coil, wind, so that there's a resistance in the center. And then that's what allows the poles to separate. One goes on one side, another one goes on another, and then now they're able to generate. So this is the simple idea of understanding what we're doing here. We're creating that other force, that other pole, what we've been missing, the hidden knowledge, the lost word, if you may. We're bringing that back and we're restoring that to humanity. And then, and the reason why we're doing it is not because of some save the world program. Not, I want to save everyone, and you get caught up in the whole pitfalls of that idea. It's because we know that once we show everyone who they really are, now it's going to really, really kick off. And on top of that, guess what? I'm not trying to leave here. Like, I'm not into that whole, I need to get off this planet, blah, 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 blah. Because if, you know, as they say, always want to go, but you never want to stay. There is no other planet, if you know what I'm talking about. You have access to every space right now. You got inner space. You go there every night. Every time you close those eyes, whether you're aware of it or not, if you had the energetic potential, it wouldn't even go dark in there. And that's also a marker for letting us understand how our energy works, because we are lights. So when you actually pick up a lot of energy, you shine now. So that shining is like a projector. So when we close our eyes, when the shining is high, and many people who've been through these kind of experiences where they've turned up their frequency, even through other substances, all of a sudden it's like you turned on an HD television. Now, some people still dream in HD in most cases.
Savannah, right? I got to interrupt you, brother. We are out of time. Well, that was the whole hour, man. Absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today, sir.
All right, JD. Thank you.
Absolutely. Everybody, please go check out Savan Bomar's websites. You guys are not going to believe how amazing they are. We got to go, ladies and gentlemen. We're out of time. I will see you guys this evening for the Woo Crew, and appreciate all of you guys who will be tuning in for that. Appreciate all you guys hanging out with us this morning. Wasn't Savan Bomar just an amazing, amazing individual, ladies and gentlemen? Absolutely. Savan Bomar. Absolutely great stuff, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you guys on Monday. Take care, everybody.
Okay, thanks.
Come on with me.
All right.
Oh, wait, you're still there. Okay, cool. No, we're muted. I was trying to get away from the mic without going out. Cool. Man, epic. Unbelievable. I can't believe how well your brain works, my friend.
Oh, man, we just did that thing. It only, you know, that hour felt like 15 minutes. So that's good to get in for the day. And, I'm going to come back around another circuit, man, and holler at you, you know, when, especially as things develop more and there's some new stuff to talk about, you know, I'm going to come back through and then maybe we do another show.
Dude, we absolutely have to. I mean, I want you to be like a monthly Friday guy, because there's so much stuff that I mean, this is just so deep. And this is what, if we can collectively get people to understand that they are really in charge of what's going on around here and eliminate the fear of understanding, you know what I mean? Trying to eliminate the fear of empowerment, which I think we just have to keep beating that down, man.
Man, and you know, you're also a really good host. I know you got to go, but I definitely want to let you know that I didn't get an opportunity to really let you get in, but I saw that you were really on point with all the things. And the only reason was because it was only an hour anyway, and I did have something on the list that I wanted to make sure I got out there even to you personally. But, you know, well, on another note, man, I really would love to sit in with you, and just especially if you have like a team or whatever, and then we throw some questions about, and then, you know, I just answer those questions kind of in a short segment or manner, and then, you know, we go on to the next thing, because, you know, I see that your brain clicks.
I want to get you on the Woo Crew, brother. We do a Friday night show with essentially myself, a couple other hosts from around the network, and we usually bring a guest on, and it's exactly this type of discussion. It's 3 hours, man, right before Chris and Cherie's show. Okay, gotta get you on there, man.
Put me on the table for that, man. So send me some dates.
Will do.
Okay.
Will do. Will do. All right, brother. You take care. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank
you
again for being here.
All right.
All right. Take care, boss.
Bye.